And from the KTOO newsroom, I'm Anna Canny. Heavy rainstorms starting tonight may trigger flooding and landslides for some neighborhoods around Juneau. The National Weather Service has issued a flood watch for Thursday morning through Friday morning. An atmospheric river will dump multiple rounds of rain across the whole panhandle, with 2 to 4 inches possible. The heaviest showers will come Thursday afternoon. In Juneau, neighborhoods around Lemon Creek, Montana Creek, and Jordan Creek should be wary of minor flooding on roads and low-lying areas. Heavy rains could also trigger small, isolated landslides in neighborhoods with steep terrains across Sitka, Cake, and Juneau. The Weather Service does not have a formal warning system for landslide events, but people in those vulnerable neighborhoods should keep an eye out for further communication from the city. Mariners should also be wary, as storms will bring strong gale-force winds to areas like Icy Strait and Hawk Inlet. Though the heaviest rainfall is expected to subside by early Friday, showers will continue through the weekend. And the husband of Alaska's sole U.S. representative has been killed in a plane crash on the YK Delta. Eugene Peltola, who goes by Buzzy, died after his plane crashed in a remote and mountainous area outside of the village of St. Mary's. Jennifer Homendy is the chair of the National Transportation Safety Board.
The pilot flew a Hunter and the Hunter's equipment to a remote location that's 64 miles northeast of St. Mary's, Alaska. According to the Alaska Rescue Coordination Center, they received the first 406 emergency locator transmitter transmission about 8:48 p.m. last night. The plane appears to have crashed on departure.
During a press conference, Homendy said Peltola had dropped off a Hunter and hunting equipment on Tuesday evening. As of Wednesday morning, Homendy said NTSB officials were headed to the crash site to begin their investigation.
Now, the goals of the team that is heading out to the scene are to get access to the wreckage, to document the wreckage and any evidence, and conduct interviews of any of the witnesses. We are working with the Alaska Air National Guard to provide helicopter transportation to our team and to the parties so that they can get to the remote location.
Alaska State Troopers say two hunters who were not involved in the crash arrived at the downed plane and provided medical care. An Alaska Air National Guard rescue team arrived early this morning, but after Peltola had already died. The two hunters and Peltola's body were taken to the Joint Base Elmendorf-Richardson. Peltola's body has been sent to the State Medical Examiner's Office for autopsy. Buzzy Peltola was born in Bethel. He is Tlingit and Yupik, and a member of the Uruchagamut Native Council, who had a background in business and local government. He worked for the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, led subsistence management, and was a top Alaska official in the Bureau of Indian Affairs. He retired last summer as his wife was running for office. He recently joked that he was adjusting to his new job as arm candy to the congresswoman. Condolences for Buzzy Peltola and his family have been pouring in. Peltola's staff describe him as a devoted family man and a person who was obnoxiously good at everything. They said Representative Mary Peltola is headed back to Alaska to be with her family. The Peltolas have 7 children. Colon cancer is often easily treatable when it's caught early, but many people who are at risk don't get screened. Wasilla resident John Coe was one of those people, and now he's being treated for late-stage cancer. Coe started painting to deal with the stress of his diagnosis, and he hopes his art can raise awareness about the importance of cancer screening. Alaska Public Media's Rachel Cassandra has more.
Jim Coe is in a garage-style art studio at his family home in Wasilla, pointing to a series of 3 paintings.
These orange-based paintings are about cancer.
About 10 paintings total are set up in a U-shape on easels. In the center of the room is a cart with a painting palette.
I started my paintings painting a lot about cancer and this cancer journey, and I moved on to painting things about personal things in my life.
Coe hadn't painted much before he was diagnosed with colon cancer 2 years ago. but he started painting in his studio for mental health during his treatment. He knew he would be taking time off work and wanted to fill time with something meaningful.
I mean, I've cried my eyes out painting some of these paintings because they're very touching. To me, very personal, you know.
Coe's paintings are a mix of detailed imagery and strong graphic elements. One is cheekily called Bottom Line and depicts a backside in rumpled jeans. In fine print, it says, colorectal screening saves. Coe has worked in advertising for many years, so he decided early on in his treatment that he wanted to get the word out about the importance of early detection. Now he's getting ready to show his paintings publicly for the first time.
This is maybe the most brave thing I've done as an artist, to make all these paintings and then just put them up. I mean, people will know that I made these and I'm very proud of them. And if we can just help a few people not have to have stage 4 colon cancer, I mean, that's a remarkable thing to do in the world.
If Coe had been diagnosed when he first got symptoms, his treatment would have been easier and his prognosis would have been much better. Coe had some mild symptoms like seeing blood on his toilet paper, but ignored them. And he wasn't getting regular checkups with a doctor back then, someone who might have suggested he get screened just in case. The CDC now recommends that people start screenings for colon cancer at age 45 or earlier if they're in a vulnerable group. By the time Coe was diagnosed 2 years ago when he was 51, his cancer was already late stage.
When you're first diagnosed with cancer, it'll stop your heart. I mean, it'll really make you just reevaluate everything. And that certainly was the case for my wife and I. We sat in our car and cried. It's hard to talk about. When you know that you're going to be impacting your family so deeply, it's really difficult.
Late stage colorectal cancer is harder to treat and has lower survival rates. Over the past 2 years, Coe has endured radiation, surgery, and chemotherapy. He says his diagnosis has changed the way he feels about time.
Your idea of time has to change. I have 3 daughters I love, a wife, and I want to be there for them. But I don't know if I will be or not. So what that means is that you have to make the most out of every day. You just have to make the most out of every single day. And that's, I would say everyone should do that.
Coe's treatment wasn't as simple as he and his doctors had hoped, but recently he got his first clean scan, which means the doctors couldn't detect any cancer in his body. His health is uncertain, though, so he'll continue to get checks every 3 months.
Right now, I'm in a 15% of people that get to live for 2 years with stage 4 cancer, so I feel pretty blessed about that. I want to stay in that 15% like for a good decade. That'd be great. We'll change all the rules if we can.
Coe doesn't just paint on canvas. He pulls out a painted rock that's part of his Hope series. On the round stone, a tiny hot air balloon is adding a piece to turn the word nope into hope. He has been leaving rocks painted like this in a little cubby outside his cancer treatment center in Wasilla. Coe has noticed that the hope rocks always disappear soon after he leaves them.
You know, I don't know if you're picking it up for a loved one or for yourself or whatever. Maybe you just need it for a day, but tomorrow maybe you'll meet someone that would need it also.
Coe says knowing people see his hope rocks, get inspired by them, and take them home is part of the magic of making art. In Wasilla, I'm Rachel Cassandra.
The Anchorage Assembly has voted to put more than $6 million towards a shelter for the city's homeless residents this winter. Most of the money comes from funds set aside for the mayor's proposal to build a new mass shelter and navigation center, which the Assembly voted down last month. Instead, the city's cold weather shelter plan involves using hotels, churches, and nonprofits for extra rooms and temporary beds. The funding was amended to dedicate $1.3 million of it to the Anchorage Affordable Housing and Land Trust to convert vacant and abandoned properties into housing. Assembly member Felix Rivera proposed the change.
This amendment accomplishes that goal and helps a great partner organization that we've worked with over the last year to bring on almost 300 units of housing, bring on even more housing in the form of rehabilitating vacant and abandoned properties.
The winter shelter funding was approved 9-2. Members also unanimously voted to ask Mayor Bronson's administration to look at converting an old solid waste facility for homeless services. In brief remarks, Bronson said he supported taking a look at the facility and recommended a work session with his staff and the assembly to hammer out the details.